Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. I am coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and those not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. More about that at stewardship.com. And while you're there, check out this new resource called Chris Recommends. You'll find articles by me and by other writers, and you can find out more about Financial Peace University or endorse local providers and our great books. Again, click on Chris Recommends at stewardship.com. The phone lines are open. Call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Calling in from Kansas City, this is Megan. Megan, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. How can I serve you?
My question is, I'm always listening to Dave Ramsey and him always talking about building your $1,000 emergency fund, but I was curious to know, once you do the $1,000, do you keep adding to it, or do you just strictly leave it at $1,000 and then just kind of build up your step, the baby step three, which is the 3 to 6 months? Do you always just have $1,000, or can you keep adding to it to have more if a bigger emergency happens to come along?
Yeah, actually, the first three baby steps, what you're referring to, Megan, is Financial Peace University. For those of you who are listening and don't know what Megan's referring to, are very linear. Very linear. I mean, it's very just clear cut, $1,000 and stop. Then focus all your attention on getting rid of all debt. Then you come back to the emergency fund and kind of fully establish it. You want it to be fully funded, is the terminology we use. And so you want to take that $1,000 and now build it up to 3 to 6 months. So it is a step one, a clear step two, and a clear step three. So yes, you stop at $1,000, focus on the debt, and then you kind of build it up from there. Because the thing is before you get into savings and stuff, you don't want to keep going towards 3 to 6 months. It's just a big accomplishment for most families. You don't want to do that with a big anchor on your back. So you want to make sure you get rid of the negative energy and the things that are pulling you backwards in your life. Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is slave to the lender. You don't want to keep going through life being a slave. That's no fun. And so we want to get rid of the slave status, and we want to get out of that, and then we can get into the savings later. So there's a great article actually I wanted to point you towards on stewardship.com that I actually spent some time on this. Kind of documented a little bit of my story, how I built up that first emergency fund. Maybe you're a listener and you're listening in, you're like, man, I want to save my first $1,000, or we say $500 if you make under $20,000 a year. But how do you do that? And I kind of documented and gave you some good ways to build that first $1,000. But yep, to answer your question, Megan, you want to stop at $1,000. We have David calling in from the White House, Tennessee. David, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm very thankful. How can I serve you?
Yes, sir. My question today is, just the other day, my wife and I, we were looking at our debts, and besides our house mortgage payment, we have two student loans and we have one car payment. The student loans and the car payment put together, it comes up to be $27,000 worth of debt. And we're paying $100 to one student loan, and we're paying $80 to another student loan. The car payment is $224 a month. And my question is, if, you know, say, for instance, somebody had, you know, a good deal of savings, you know, just not me exactly, but an example, say someone had, was able to accumulate $85,000 or more, and they wanted to pay all their debts off, would it be wiser to completely pay off the $27,000, or to do the snowball method and pay off the smallest thing, which would be my car, the $220 payment a month, and then apply that payment to the two student loans?
No, you'd pay off all of them immediately. Well, the debt reduction or the debt elimination always comes before the savings.
Okay.
Yep. Outside of the $1,000 emergency fund, that's just to keep you from having to swipe a credit card for a flat tire or something. So you do $1,000 for your emergency fund. That's step one. Step two is to get out of debt and stay out of debt. And baby step three is to save up 3 to 6 months an emergency fund for savings.
My mortgage is $27,000. And let's say today I had 50 or more. Just go ahead and completely pay it off.
Yep. I know it seems oversimple for you, but it is. It's that simple. You write a check, write three checks, and pay those suckers off.
Right. Because, you know, doing the math, I would say $400 a month in income.
Yep. And then build your savings right back up. Yep.
Right.
It'd be awesome.
I figured that was the smartest way, but I wanted to make sure, you know, because I didn't want to throw all my... Well, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. The whole idea is we're supposed to be running a race. Paul talks about running a race, running towards the prize, and it's impossible to run when you've got ankle weights on and you've got debt pulling you back. You've got a big – it's like me trying to run around the park with my kids on my shoulders. I can't run nearly as fast. So you got to get the kid off your shoulder first, and then you got to start running full speed. Have you ever heard of Financial Peace University?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have you ever been exposed to it at all?
I have. I actually go to church at Long Hollow Baptist Church, and they have spoke about Financial Peace University as a small group to attend.
Okay. Well, what I want to do for you is I want to, if you promise me that you'll go through the class, I want to send you Financial Peace University for free. I want to send it to you. And there are two lessons in there that will dive into this particular subject specifically, the baby step two and the baby step three. And it'll be a 30-minute teaching, 45-minute teaching on this subject alone so you can fully digest it. And then just don't just give up there, though. I want you to get listen to baby step four, five, six, and get inspired about your next steps. But yeah, going back to the debt, Romans 13:8 says, owe nothing to anyone. So we got to make sure we take care of that before we take care of savings. So I'm going to hang up in just a minute. And Amanda, our call screener, is going to get on the line and she's going to get your address and we're going to send this to you for free. Sound good?
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Thank you, David. This email comes in from Jeff. He says, hey, Pastor Chris, my wife and I are debt-free and trying to choose a church to get involved in. We're wrestling with the notion of attending one that carries a debt on the facilities because the thought of our giving going to pay interest at a bank makes me crazy. We're wondering if we would be wise to find one that operates debt-free or find one that we feel called to dive into and be a part of helping them get out of debt. Well, Jeff, you may not know this stat, but 73% of churches are in debt. So good luck. You got 27% out there that are not in debt. I would encourage you to look into other variables and take those into consideration, not just the debt variable. There's a lot of different things that go into this. They could be carrying a debt, but it's a decision they made 8 years ago, and they're in the middle of climbing out. And actually, they have a huge heartbeat for stewardship, and 50% of their budget is going towards debt reduction. So just because they're carrying a debt doesn't actually give you a good thermostat for their stewardship temperature. I would look into health, staff health, infrastructure health. I would look into the humility of the lead team. I would look into how well they're doing multiple facets of ministry like discipleship, community, evangelism. Is there results? Is there proof in the pudding? Are people being discipled? Are people being reached? Are people being baptized? Do they have a desire for stewardship? And so you got to dig in a little bit to find those kind of things. And think of it this way. Don't just look for the perfect church, because if you look for the perfect church, first of all, you're going to be looking forever, but then you're not needed. I would go somewhere where you could possibly be the solution. You could help out. So lots of other variables. I wouldn't just get tied into whether they had debt or not. It very well could be a good indicator, but then again, it could very well not be. I know some very, very good churches with great stewardship minds that still carry a debt load of a decision they made a long time ago. So, and there's also other indicators, you know, when it comes to their budget on, they could actually have some debt, but they might, you know, give 40% to their community. I mean, that's pretty considerable. So it really all depends on, you know, how their entire financial breakdown looks, and their history of their finances as well. So if they have some kind of annual report online or anything like that, I definitely would look into those kind of things. But great email. Our next caller is Greg calling in from West Virginia. Greg, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Oh, I am very blessed. Don't deserve it at all, but very blessed. How are you doing?
Good.
How can we help you?
Well, my question is, I'm a 46-year-old police officer. I've got 3.5 years until I retire. I've been a police officer in West Virginia 22 years. Through the department I work for, some of us pay into a deferred compensation plan.
Okay.
And I've got about $35,000 in it, and I've really only made substantial contributions over the last 4 or 5 years to it. And my question is, should I continue to pay into a deferred compensation plan, or should it go into some other type of retirement entity, such as an IRA?
First of all, thank you for your service. I mean, I think a lot of times we thank a military, but I mean, what you guys do is a huge deal, and we're very thankful for you.
You're welcome.
I don't like the deferred comp. I don't think it's horrible. I just think it's what you do after everything else. What I don't like about it is you don't have control. They kind of invest the money for you, and they might give you 2 or 3 different funding options. But overall, you don't really have any control. You can't transfer it later over to a 401k or an IRA if you wanted to later. I just don't like it. So for me, okay. Do you have a 401k option?
No, we do not.
Okay. So normally I like to tell folks to go to a 401k first and then look to a Roth IRA. Second, the reason why I like that is because it's post-tax. So you've already paid the taxes on it. You're not going to pay taxes on it when you get it out. And it grows tax-free, which is very rare. So I love the Roth IRA first, and then I would go to low turnover mutual funds after that. But I'm not a big fan of the deferred comp at all. So to answer your question, I would pull it, and I would stop there, and I would look into, you know, of course, we've got endorsed local provider investment professionals that can walk you through it. I like you, you know, going through a Roth for sure.
Okay. Very good, then. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call, Greg. Folks, you know, what Greg is doing is huge. And you might not be in a season right now in your life where even investing just seems crazy to you, that even have the money, to have the margin to be able to put money towards your needs in the future, it just seems crazy to you. And wherever you're at in your journey, you might not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I do want to awaken your vision to think bigger, to think beyond today, to think beyond this week, this month. The Bible's very clear, Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I just want to maybe just, if we can just look up for a minute, instead of our nose to the grind and we're focusing in on those bills, and just think about the next generation. What can we leave? What kind of legacy could we leave? And the conversation I just had with Greg, well, that's where it starts. He's thinking about the future. He's not thinking about what kind of car he's going to get next week. He's not thinking about what pair of slacks he's going to get next week. That's not necessarily taking up his world. He has to make those decisions, but he's thinking about some bigger things. He's thinking about the future, and that's huge. And I'm excited for Greg and the legacy that he's going to leave.
You're busy. I know there are so many demands on us, whether we're leading a church, a company, or a household. That's why it's important to have someone you can trust to help you with things like insurance, investing, real estate, and taxes. The Endorsed Local Provider Program is made up of professionals in your area who are experts in those fields and always put your needs first. Let our ELPs help you take care of the details so you can focus on things that matter. Find your ELP today at stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com and click ELP.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Our next caller is Colleen. She's calling in from Omaha, Nebraska. Colleen, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very grateful. How can I serve you?
I had a question regarding CD, certificate of deposits.
Certificates of depreciation.
Yeah, yes, that's what I've heard. And that's actually why I'm calling, because that's what we find, that is all that's happening with them.
Okay.
We have about just under $70,000 in several different CDs. And, of course, they've not been doing well. The rate of return for the interest rate is so low that they're hardly making anything. And we just decided, once they come up for renewal, as each one comes up for renewal, to cash them out. And we're trying to decide what to do with that money. The only debt my husband and I have is our home, which has a $17,000 loan left on the mortgage. And we were trying to figure out if it would be a smart thing to pay that off and then take the difference and invest that into our retirement IRA accounts or Roth IRAs or other. You know, we have a very diversified portfolio, so there's lots of ways that we could put it in different avenues where we could put the money. But we just didn't know if it would be a smart move to pay off the house or not bother with that. I did call our mortgage company and asked if we paid off the house tomorrow, mm-hmm. how much money that would save us in interest. And I was pretty surprised at the answer. They said just under $600. So it wasn't near like I thought it would be, but that may be because we refinanced the home and our interest rate is pretty low now.
Yeah, yeah. What is your income?
Our total income is about $150,000.
Okay. How much money do you have invested total anywhere?
Total, if you include our home, which is about a $300,000 house, we have just under $1 million.
Okay.
With all of our investments and savings and stocks and bonds and everything, total bill.
Okay. When is the renewal? When do these renewals start coming in?
The soonest one is in November.
Okay.
And then they're about every 6 months after that.
Okay.
For a couple years.
Okay. And so I'm assuming you have at least 3 to 6 months worth of savings in some kind of money market that's liquid and available if you needed it.
Yes. We have about $75,000 in our savings account that's liquid. It's just a regular savings.
Okay, good. Good. And are you contributing on top of these CDs? Are you contributing at all, you know, towards any kind of other, on an regular basis, contributing towards any kind of investment instruments besides CDs?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We put in our Roth IRAs every year, the limits. We put in regular IRAs. Our retirement accounts at our places of employment are automatically taken out of our paycheck.
Well, good. Yeah. Okay. So I was going to make sure that you didn't just have the $1 million invested from a long time ago, but you're still doing that. So that's good. I would pull it all out as soon as renewal happens, pull it out, pay off that house for sure. And you can still continue to do mutual funds, do some low turnover mutual funds, maybe even explore a little bit with some variable annuities, only because you'll then be in baby step 7. But I'd talk to one of our ELPs or talk to an investment professional that you have and talk through. Those would be my biggest two. Or even think about even looking at some paid for real estate investing. If you want to do that. So you're already diversified, okay. And that would give you a couple more diversified options. But if you don't want to get into the whole, you know, landlord world, which I wouldn't blame you, stay away from that. But are you familiar with Legacy Journey book that we have?
I am not.
All right. I want to give that to you because you're in a position where we talk about two different kinds of investing here. We talk about investing long-term, which you're already invested in, that you're doing a great job with that. But then also investing where moth and rust don't corrupt and making sure that you become generous and stay generous. And so Legacy Journey is about how to handle wealth. And you guys are already wealthy and you're about to get even more wealthy. And I want to make sure that that book is in your hands. So I actually want to give that to you.
Thank you.
So as soon as we hang up, Amanda's going to get your address and she's going to shoot that book over to you. And my prayer is that you would not only absorb that book, but then you would also pay that information forward to other people, that you would that whole spirit of generosity and spirit of forward thinking and everything that you're modeling in your personal life, that you would lead in your community and lead in your sphere of influence. So people hear that you have $1 million and they might say, well, that must be nice, Colleen, that you have $1 million. No, folks, what you sow, you reap. And there's a lot of great decisions throughout the years, and now you're benefiting from it. And so I want to applaud you, and I think you're on the right track. I was talking to an investment professional about variable annuities, about low turnover mutual funds, and possibly some real estate investing. All right, Colleen?
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Our next caller is Andy calling in from Shelbyville, Indiana. Andy, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm very thankful, my friend. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got a question. My wife and I are kind of in the process of being ready to purchase our first home, and obviously it's a big purchase.
Yeah.
And I've tried to follow a lot of Dave Ramsey's strategies in getting to this point. You know, we've paid off all of our student loans. We're not in debt at all right now, and we've saved up approximately $40,000 to this point.
Good job.
And so, well, thank you. Our annual income combined, I'm a teacher, my wife's a nurse, and our annual income is just under $100,000 a year. And we both feel like we have, you know, very secure, stable income coming in. So as I'm looking at houses, I'm looking at purchase prices I've seen over the last year with these great interest rates, the prices of homes have gone up. And so what I thought we'd be able to afford a year ago, it's, you know, kind of seems like it's out of reach. And so I've tried to look at Dave's information on how much you should spend. And I've tried to look at 2x income and then try to afford the $200,000 house. And now it seems like the houses we want are closer to $220,000. And obviously we plan on putting 20% down. So what is your recommendation on what to spend on that house? What is going too much, I guess? That's my question.
The market's a little high right now. That's why you're seeing that 200 to 220. It's definitely a seller's market out there. I'm not sure specifically about Shelbyville, but nationally that's the case. And fortunately for you, you're actually not quite ready yet because you want to put 20% down and you have exactly 20% in savings. However, after you do it, you want to make sure that you keep that emergency fund. So the emergency fund has to stay. And so right now an emergency fund for you is $30,000.
Okay.
Which is 3 months, 3 to 6 months. So it's anywhere from 30 to 60,000 for you guys, roughly. I mean, I think 30 is probably fine. So really you have 10,000 to put towards a house, and we would like you to make sure that you have 20% to put down on a 15-year fixed mortgage. And you want to also make sure before you start to do this process, you want to make sure that you're already contributing 15% towards long-term retirement. So make sure that's happening too. And then you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. And then your biggest variable that you want to think of, 15-year fixed, and just make sure that payment amount and everything you're going to put towards home is less than 25% of your monthly income. And then I think you know. Okay. And that'll be about the range that you're looking for.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Chris. I certainly appreciate your advice.
All right. You're welcome. Well, Andy is very close to being right on track. I mean, he definitely has got his ducks in a row. He's you know, got orderly thought. He knows where he's headed. But don't skip past that savings element. You know, the house of the wise is choice, food, and oil. Proverbs 21:20. You got to make sure that you don't bypass that emergency fund because he's enjoying this life full of no debt. Well, how do you make sure that you stay out of debt? You keep cash on hand so you don't have to borrow when the time comes. And you've got that money on hand. So great question by Andy, and he's probably a couple years out. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point where the host asks you for your financial support, but we're here as a free service. So you can help us by telling your friends and family to listen to the show and to check out stewardship.com. And while you're at stewardship.com, remember, check out our new resource called Chris Recommends. You'll find articles by me, you'll find articles by other writers, and you can find out more about Financial Peace University or our endorsed local providers. And of course, all of our life-changing books. And for you podcast listeners, would you consider leaving a review on iTunes? Stay connected with me at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's been an honor to serve you. Today, we've been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, Let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.